Blog Talk Radio.
Touchdown and an interception. That was a big interception, though. You know,
you can talk about that drive, but that drive was set up by the lead, by the Terrell Suggs interception. Terrell Suggs picks off a Joe Flacco pass when Pittsburgh was driving for a potential either game for a game tying field goal or a go ahead touchdown. It was 9-6 in the third quarter, 1st and 10 to Baltimore 14, and Flacco picks off, makes a great tremendous athletic play, picks off Roethlisberger, and then they go back down the field. They go back down the field and score a touchdown to go up 16-6, gave them a little cushion. Pittsburgh will come back with back-to-back touchdowns to take the lead at 20-16. But that was a huge play with the Suggs interception. Now, looking at division, the AFC North is right now you have to say AFC North might be the best division in all of football. I mean, you have Pittsburgh is at 6-3, and they're in third place. Cincinnati and Baltimore are tied at 6-2. Pittsburgh plays Cincinnati next week. Cincinnati, still has Baltimore again. Still has Baltimore twice, and Pittsburgh both Baltimore and Pittsburgh twice. So we want to find out how really good the Bengals are in the next 6 or 7 weeks. But again, big win for the Steelers. Big win for the Ravens. They 23-20 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back with the Saints and the Falcons trying to keep pace with each other. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL show. Today's edition of the NFL show, Cyril Quinn. 8 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this edition of the NFL show, 347-215-6180 is your call number. New Orleans bounces back after a tough loss last week. New Orleans bounces back with their win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after a bad loss to the Rams last week, I should say. New Orleans bounces back with a 27-16 win over the Buccaneers. New Orleans improves to 6-3 on the season. Tampa Bay falls to 4-4. Drew Brees, 27-36, 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. New Orleans at one point was up 24-6 before Tampa Bay made a little late run to try to make it interesting. But New Orleans was never really there was never really a threat to lose this game. The big number for New Orleans in this game was the 28 rushes for 195 yards. If New Orleans wants to get back to what they were a couple of years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they need to get a running game, establish a more balanced attack as far as what they're doing offensively. And, they ran for 195 yards, not counting on Drew Brees to, throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. Is, a step in the right direction for the Saints. 36th straight game that Drew Brees has thrown a touchdown pass that now is tied with Brett Favre for second all time behind the great Johnny Unitas. Josh Freeman was in this game, was 27-37 with 281 yards and a touchdown. A painful loss though for the Saints as they lose Tracy Porter, who of course had that, you know, had that interception that put the Super Bowl away a couple of years ago. Tracy Porter left the game with a neck injury. Who knows how long he will be out. He will be out. But the Saints improved to 6-3 on the season and are at top the AFC South division. Atlanta over Indianapolis, 31-7. Atlanta improves to 5-3 on the season. The Indianapolis Colts remain winless at 0-9. Good day for Matt Ryan, 14-24, 275, three touchdowns, one interception. The key number, though, for Atlanta Falcons is the fact that they ran the ball 41 times for 163 yards. 163 yards. Over the course of the last two or three games, you've seen Atlanta make a constant effort to try to run the ball, to try to take pressure off Matt Ryan. Is what they did last year is when they're at their best, when they run the ball anywhere from 30 to 40 times a game. They completely dominated this game. They outgained Indianapolis 432-186. Julio Jones, you know, after missing a couple of games with a hamstring, had a huge game, three catches for 131 yards and also two touchdowns. So, you know, Atlanta now, you know, they looked shaky at the beginning of the season. They've won now three straight. They were 2-3, won three straight. They'll be a team to watch. I mean, you know, if they're going to be committed to running the football, then that makes them a dangerous team. I still don't believe in their defense. But again, if they run the football, then they become that much more interesting. They have no chance with just putting the ball in Matt Ryan's hands and just saying, you know, you take us, then you carry us, because they're not winning games that way. But again, playing well right now and right in the thick of that NFC South divisional race. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, the Niners keep rolling and the Cowboys get back on track. We'll talk about that coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. This latest edition of the NFL Show, Cyril Quinn, taking you to 8 o'clock as we discuss week 9 of the NFL season. Halfway through the NFL season now, everybody has played at least 8 games. Pittsburgh and New Orleans have played 9 games. They have yet to have byes yet, so they have a bye. I'm assuming they have bye weeks coming up soon, if not this week. Bears, of course, play Monday night. Bears and Eagles play, of course, Monday night, playing coming up in about an hour and 15 minutes in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is right in the middle of that three-game homestand. Big game for both teams. I mean, the Bears trying to keep pace with the Lions. They're not catching the Packers, so I would just say keep pace with the Lions and stay in that in the wild card hunt. Eagles, of course, trying to keep pace with the Giants, who were victorious yesterday. So 3-4, it'll be a big game for them. Eagles need to win this game to get back to 500. You can't, you know, losing, you know, when you get, that's what happens when you get off to a bad start, 1-4, the room for error becomes that much, the room for error is not that big when you play, you know, going down the stretch here. So the Eagles need to win all of these home games to get to 5-4 as they try to get back in the playoff hunt. Dallas defeats Seattle 23-13. They improve to 4-4 in the season. The Seahawks fall to 2-6. Dallas really controlled this game, over 42 yards of offense. Another big game for DeMarco Murray, who it seems like the Cowboys have found their running back. Murray had 22 carries for 139 yards. They got good balance. Romo, 19-31, 279, a couple touchdown passes. You had Tavares Jackson with 3 interceptions. Jason Witten had a nice game, 4 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown pass. You know, this is a game Dallas had to have. I mean, coming off that embarrassment against the Eagles last week, you know, Seattle, to me, Seattle's one of the 8 or 9 worst teams in all of football. They really needed to come back at home and kind of, right the ship so as we can get back on track. Dallas, again, you know, you don't like the fact, if you're a Dallas fan, you got to be a little bit nervous about their run defense right now. Marshawn Lynch, 23 carries, 135 yards and a touchdown. Back-to-back weeks when where you get up at least 130 yards rushing. Of course, last week, McCoy had a huge game with 185 yards rushing. So I'd be concerned if you're Rob Ryan about that run defense as of now. You know, it was one thing to give it up against Philadelphia, who has a great passing attack that doesn't allow you to zero in on their run game. But another thing to give it up to a Seattle team in where I would dare Tavares Jackson to beat me with the pass. I mean, Sidney Rice is a nice receiver, but again, he's not all pro. So they really could have stacked 8 at the line of scrimmage, 8 or 9 men in the box to try to stop Marshawn Lynch, but you know, we're not able to do it. So again, Dallas has some issues with that run defense right now. Something to keep your eye on moving forward. San Francisco, in one of the uglier games of the day, defeats the Redskins 19-11. This game probably was over at 3-0. To be honest with you, the Redskins, score 11 points, score 8 points in the fourth quarter, finally get a touchdown after two games, basically. San Francisco does what it does. 19 carries for 107 yards. They run the ball 32 times for 138. Alex Smith has played extremely well this season. He goes 17-24 for 200 yards, a touchdown, no picks. On the flip side, the Redskins just have no offense. I mean, the Redskins, Roy Helu, breaks a record, but still, even when breaking a record, the Redskins embarrass themselves. Roy Helu catches 14 passes for 105 yards. I'll do the math for you. That's only 7.5 yards per catch, per reception. A lot of those with dump offs, little short passes. When Roy Helu is your primary offensive weapon, that tells you where your offense is at. John Beck, 30 for 47, 254, a touchdown and interception. Again, a lot of that came in garbage time. It's gotten to the point with the Redskins, I've been a Redskin fan for 25, 26 years, basically since 86. It's gotten to a point to where, they're not even competitive anymore. I mean, you go through the, go post 1999, the last time they won a division. They've had teams where they've had, had situations where they haven't had a quarterback. The offense has been inconsistent. Defense has been inconsistent. But even looking at the past 6 or 7 years, defense has been pretty good. Offense has been non-existent. But even with that being said, they've been competitive. They've given that you had a reason to watch them for 60 minutes, four quarters. Yesterday, I didn't follow sports. I would not have watched that game because there was no reason to watch it. Once the Redskins got down, 10-0, it was over. I mean, the game was absolutely over. So, You know, Redskins, you know, right now, they haven't been competitive since, you know, going back to the second quarter, third quarter of the Carolina game. They were never in the Bills game. And yesterday afternoon, in front of 78,000 fans, they were never in the game against the San Francisco 49ers. They just, I mean, you never got a sense that they would ever had a chance to win that game. So it's gotten pretty bad out there, you know, out there at FedEx Field. And again, the Redskin fan, you know, just be a fan at this point. At this point in time, that's all I can tell you. It's not going to get any better. As far as San Francisco goes, they improved to 7-1. Keep pace with the Green Bay Packers, as they will certainly challenge. Their schedule is not that hard. They will challenge Green Bay for that best record in the conference. There's no two ways about it. So San Francisco, again, very impressed with them as a team. They do what they do. We're going to run the ball. We're going to hit you in the mouth. It's not going to be the prettiest thing, but it's been effective. Alex Smith, again, playing well. Frank Gore running all over the place, and they also get some good play out of Michael Crabtree at the wide receiver position. So, Jim Harbaugh doing a tremendous job. Certainly, you know, the front runner for Coach of the Year. 347-215-6180 is your call number. The poll question of the night is: who is the biggest threat to the Green Bay Packers, who are currently 8-0 undefeated? We'll talk about that as the course of the program. As the program moves along, we'll be right back on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Cincinnati 24, Tennessee 17. The Bengals improved to 6-2 on the season, 4-1 on the road. Tennessee falls to 4-4. Another impressive road win for the Bengals. Last week they took out Seattle. This week they took out a little bit better team in Tennessee. Andy Dalton continues to play well, 22-39, 3 touchdowns, no picks. If not for Cam Newton, I think that he would be certainly in line for offensive rookie of the year. A.J. Green had a nice game, 7 catches for 83 yards. They at one point were down 17-7 before coming back and having a big, they had a big third quarter, had a big second half, and, you know, were able to help Tennessee scoreless in the second half. Chris Johnson showed some glimpses, 14 carries for 64 yards, but it was not enough as Cincinnati, again, continues to play well, 6-2. They will play Pittsburgh next week, so they'll get an angry Pittsburgh team coming off a Baltimore loss. Listen, you have to love what Cincinnati is doing right now. They've gone totally young. Just about has some nice pieces on defense. A defense that played well a couple of years ago when they made the playoffs. You know, Andy Dalton, again, rookie quarterback has come in, done the job so far. A.J. Green is going to be a star. That's all there is to it. And they play to their strengths. I mean, they're going to try to run the ball. They don't ask Andy Dalton to do too much. You know, there are times where he does throw the ball a lot, but they definitely try to stay balanced. And they play excellent defense. I mean, they're going to force turnovers. They don't give them a lot. They have not given them a lot of points. And the most impressive thing about what they're doing is that they are winning on the road. And, you know, a lot of young teams trying to develop have a tough time with doing that. But again, they're 4-1 on the road this year, and that is, you know, that is not easy for a young and upcoming team. Certainly, we'll get a big time test when they take on the Steelers next week. But again, you know, you wouldn't be shocked or surprised if Cincinnati goes out there and wins that game. Miami crushes Kansas City 31-3. Miami gets their first win of the season to improve to 1-7. Kansas City falls to 4-4. Kind of a surprise considering the fact that Kansas City had won four straight, the game in Arrowhead. And, you know, we know Miami was going to win a game. There was no way Miami was going to not, go winless for the season. They played well against the Giants, have, you know, knocked on the door a couple times over the past couple of weeks. But, you know, they dominated Kansas City, a puzzling performance for the Kansas City Chiefs coming off, maybe it was the short week. Maybe it was, the short week, but they were at home. You know, both games, they had back-to-back home games. So, I don't know, just a strange, just a bad performance for the Chiefs. Reggie Bush had a big game, 13 carries, 92 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Marshall, who apparently got into an altercation with Vontae Davis before the game, had a nice game with 8 catches and 106 yards and a touchdown. So good win for Miami to get out at, get that first win. Quiet down to Tony Sperano, fired talk a little bit. He's going to be fired before the season's out, but at least he has something to feel good about in what has otherwise been a very long season, to say the least. 347-215-6180. When we return, the Jets knock around the Bills, and Houston keeps on rolling. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. Cyril Quinn taking you to 8 o'clock as we discuss week 9 of NFL action. Great weekend of football. Started, of course, down in Tuscaloosa with the Alabama LSU. We'll talk about that before the program is out. But, that 4 o'clock window, really, things got heated up at the end of towards 6:45 and 7 o'clock, when you had about three or four games that were going down to the wire. And I was really into that 4 o'clock window. Was definitely exciting in comparison to what transpired last week with some of these games. So it was a great. Certainly, if you're an NFL fan, you had to be happy about the quality of football that you saw in the that late afternoon window. Jets take out the Bills 27-11. Jets improved to 5-3. Bills fall to 5-3. Big win for the Jets. They had a huge third quarter with 17 points. Ryan Fitzpatrick struggled, as I thought he would. 15-31, 191, one touchdown, two interceptions. Jets held Ferris Jackson in check, 18 carries, 82 yards. Listen, this was, and I said this, you know, I said this on the wake-up call Saturday, that this was just a bad matchup. I mean, it was a bad matchup. Jets had a kind of secondary that could take out, you know, that could neutralize Stevie Johnson and the other receivers from the Bills. They were going to, you know, jam the line of scrimmage with Buffalo's line, you know, with Fred Jackson and company. And just, you know, they just did not match up. Buffalo just did not match up well with the Jets at all. Jets played well. Jets were in control of this game from the third quarter on. First half, this game, you know, was basically, you know, Alabama LSU, basically. It was, you know, a field goal game. But Buffalo, again, the Jets took over in that third quarter and won, going away 27-11. Sanchez goes 20-28, 230, a touchdown and an interception. Jets, of course, have a, you know, another showdown game against the Patriots coming up next week. We're interested to see Buffalo go from here. I mean, that was a real smack in the mouth that they took. So, we'll see what happens with Buffalo. You expect them to bounce back somewhat, but their schedule is about to heat up too as well over the course of the next five weeks. Houston rolls over Cleveland 30-12. Houston improves to a franchise best 6-3 on the season. The Browns fall to 3-5. Houston, you know, Houston just ran over the Browns 261-49. Arian Foster and Ben Tate both go over 100 yards. And to me, right now, they are the best running back tandem in football. I mean, both those guys. You know, you saw when Arian Foster was injured, Ben Tate stepped in, and you know they didn't miss a beat. Now they're running more than ever because, you know, no Andre Johnson. Schaub only throws, you know, 23 passes, has a modest game of, you know, 14-23, 119 in an interception. But you know what? They didn't need him. They didn't need him to do anything as they just gave the ball to those two players. Foster goes 19 for 124 and a touchdown. And Ben Tate goes 12 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown himself. So, they have a great, you know, I like what Houston's doing right now. You know, they're absolutely playing to their strength, at least until Andre Johnson gets back. Then they'll probably throw the ball a little bit more. But 6-3 is certainly in control of that AFC South division. So they put themselves in a nice position here, in a nice spot. And, you know, Indianapolis, you look at the rest of that division, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee, there's no way any of those teams should be able to catch Houston for that particular division. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Coming up, deja vu all over down in New England, and the Tim Tebow show. The Tim Tebow show goes to Oakland. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back. Thank you. 36 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour in this latest edition of the NFL Show. Cyril Quinn taking you to 8 o'clock tonight as we look back at Week 9 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. The G-Men, shocking, the New England Patriots, 24-20. I had this game down cold. I told you on the Saturday morning wake-up call that the Giants were going to go in there and beat them. This game comes to no surprise, in my opinion, that the Giants do this. The Patriots have been exposed for who they are, a one-dimensional team with no defense. And if you can calm that one dimension down even a little bit, then you can certainly take them out. Giants, Eli Manning takes the Giants 80 yards, 80 plays in a minute 36, game-winning touchdown to Mario Manningham, and the Giants pulled off the win 24-20. Eli on the day, 20-39, 250 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. In my opinion, outplayed Tom Brady, who was 28-49, 342 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, and also had a fumble. So he had three turnovers in that game. Wes Welker, had nine catches, 136 yards. Brandon Jacobs had a nice game, 18 carries, 72 yards, and a touchdown, filling in for the injured Ahmad Bradshaw. I'm going to take the Giant perspective first. First of all, that is a big-time win for the Giants. You know, they're coming up on this gauntlet of a schedule, one of the most brutal six-game stretches that you'll ever see, to start off with a road win in New England, a place that no other team had won at in about, you know, as far as in regular season-wise, they had won at in almost 3 years. You know, shows you where the Giants, how far the Giants have come since we saw them week one against the Redskins. The poll question of the day, of the night, is who is right now in the NFL is the biggest threat to the Packers. I'm looking at all these teams, and I say it's the New York Giants because, and I'll tell you why, the Giants have a pass rush. They have one of the best pure pass rushes in the league. They have a quarterback with championship pedigree. They can run the ball, and they are absolutely a mentally tough team. How many times have we had Tom Coughlin fired? How many? I mean, Tom Coughlin is like Rasputin. You know, this guy doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, He survives. Next thing you know, the Giants are 6-2 in complete control of the NFC East division. And right now, again, looking like a team that, to me, is the biggest threat to the Green Bay Packers. I really do. And not only in the NFC, in the entire league, for that matter. Again, big-time win for the Giants as they, again, start off one of the most brutal stretch runs scheduling that you'll ever see. So they improved 6-2 on the season. The flip side of the coin is the New England Patriots, who, again, have been exposed. And I told you this earlier in the season when they were, you know, when they were gashing teams for 400 or 500 yards a game. This thing will not last because of how, number one, they play defense, and number two, they basically have no running game. Again, when Tom Brady has been human this year, the Patriots have lost. Patriots lose back-to-back games go to 5-3 in their last three games. Even if the offense is struggling, they're only averaging 19 points a game in their last three games. Brady's been getting hit more. Teams are, you know, the book on the Patriots is jam the, you know, play man-to-man, you know, cut off the short routes. They're not going to beat you over the top so you can move up close to the line of scrimmage and go from there. That's the book on the Patriots. And teams, Pittsburgh's done it, Dallas has done it, the Giants have done it. Three straight games, you have teams that have done that. They should be 4-4 because they should have lost to the Cowboys. So it's going to be very interesting to see the adjustment that they make because they don't have a deep threat. I mean, Wes Welker's a great slot man, but he's not a guy who's going to beat you over the top. Ocho Cinco was targeted 5 times. And how many catches did he have? 0. So I found that interesting as well. But the Patriots are in a very peculiar spot. That division all of a sudden is wide open right now. You know, if you're a Jets fan, you should be feeling very confident that you could possibly win this division with the way the Patriots are playing. So we'll see how they rebound from these back-to-back losses. Denver takes out Oakland 38-24. Denver has a big fourth quarter. At one point, Denver was down 17-7 early in the game. Tim Tebow had by far and away his best game probably as in the season, maybe his best game as a pro. Tebow was 10 for 21, 124 yards, a couple of touchdown passes. He also ran the ball 12 times, 118 yards. Willis McGahee had a big day, 20 yards, 163 yards rushing, two touchdowns, had a 60-yard run in the second half. Typical Oakland Raiders, I mean, 15 penalties, 130 yards. Carson Palmer had, you know, he giveth and he taketh away. 332 yards passing on 19 of 35. They also had three touchdowns. They also had three interceptions. It's three interceptions as well. Oakland's defense is just non-existent. I mean, let's be honest. Denver runs 38 times for 299 yards. Again, both Tebow and Willis McGahee go over 100 yards rushing. I don't understand how Denver can put 38 points on the board and almost run for 300 yards on you. You know Tebow is going to run. I don't get how you cannot game plan for Tim Tebow and stop it. I don't get it. The playbook, their passing offense is limited in terms of what they're going to do. Who's their receivers? I mean, Eric Decker. They don't have Brandon Marshall or Brandon Lloyd there anymore. You know, Eddie Royal. I don't get, you know, again, Oakland, Hugh Jackson is going to be in some trouble because they made this Carson Palmer traded, you know, their future basically for Carson Palmer. They're going to expect some results. And right now, they've lost back-to-back games in an embarrassing fashion. You give up almost 300 yards rushing on your own home field, and then you get shut out. You get shut out by the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, think about it. The Raiders have been destroyed basically in these last two games at home. You know, when they were 4-2. So, I'd be a little nervous right now if I'm Hugh Jackson moving forward. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm Cyril Quinn. When we return, the greatest quarterback ever, Patrick Peterson, and the Patrick Peterson Show. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about that and much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Arizona takes out St. Louis in overtime, 19-13. Patrick Peterson gets a 99-yard punt return for a touchdown in overtime. St. Louis had a chance to win at the end of regulation, but it had a punt blocked by, I think, Calais Campbell, who's about 7 feet tall, or 6'8" to be exact. And Peterson was the star. He had an interception and a 99-yard punt return. This dude, you know, first of all, I think he's, you know, they have him playing cornerback. I think he would be lethal at free safety. I don't know if he'll end his career at cornerback, but they have him playing that right now. I think he's a free safety myself. But this guy has been tremendous this year. He has three punt returns for a touchdown. I don't like. You know, that one last night was just remarkable because it looked like It looks like he was only going to break it for about 50 or 60 yards, but he spins, gets to the sideline, and just explodes. I don't know if he's the fastest guy. I mean, he's fast, but I don't know. He doesn't have, Deion Sanders, Michael Vick type speed. He's just, he's quick, he's fast, but he's just a guy who just has a knack, for punt returning. I mean, I think he's a guy who, probably spends, I don't know how many hours in the film room looking at the gunners and looking at how teams are playing them. He just has a knack for doing it. He kind of reminds me of a guy who played in Florida State. And if you're a Florida State, Kansas City Chiefs fan, you know who I'm talking about, Tamarik Vandeveer, who was just tremendous back in his day. So he reminds me of that. He reminds me of him in many ways. Just guy who just has a knack for just, breaking, for the big play. And, this dude, he could threaten Devin Hester's punt return record for punt return touchdowns. Right? He already has three, and he's only a rookie. He also is a very good cornerback. He's going to be a big time player in this league, and certainly one of the very few bright spots that the Arizona Cardinals have. Jamie Skelton had a decent day, 20 of 35, 222 yards. Touchdown, no picks. Steven Jackson, second straight game, he had a big day, 29 carries for 130 yards. St. Louis falls to 1-7 on the season. Arizona improves to 2-6. Green Bay over San Diego, 45-38 in a wild game, to say the least. Green Bay improves to 8-0. The Chargers dropped their third straight game to go to 4-4 on the season. At one point, Green Bay was up 45-24 before the Chargers mounted a late comeback. Phillip Rivers is, had a great game for fantasy people, but continues to struggle. He did have 385 yards passing, four touchdowns, but also had three interceptions. Two of those interceptions went back to the house, one by Jamal Williams and the other one by Charlie Pefferot. And Pefferot almost had another one at the end of the game. They ended up getting tackled at the 3-yard line. But again, the story of this game and the story of the season, for that matter, has been the play of one Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers goes 21 for 26, 247 yards, and four touchdowns. I said it yesterday when I'm watching this guy, and I fully believe this, and I heard it said a couple times this weekend. Aaron Rodgers right now is playing football, playing quarterback at a level that I've never seen a quarterback ever play it before. Now, again, I don't go back, to Sammy Ball or Otto Graham with guys like that. I saw Montana, saw Elway, saw Marino, saw those guys, Brady, Manning. But I've never seen a player, there's no flaws with this dude right now. He has no weaknesses. I mean, he can make any throw. He can throw with accuracy on the run. He can scramble. He has command of the offense. He spreads the ball out. He doesn't throw picks. He doesn't turn over the ball. I mean, what? Give me his weakness. Give me his weakness. He right now, 24 touchdowns, three interceptions, is on a pace to break Drew Brees' completion record. Drew Brees, I believe, a couple of years ago, completed 70% of his passes. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is almost completing 73% of his passes. I think the number is 72.5 to be exact. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, the balls are right there to where his receivers catch them and keep on running. I mean, his guy's in stride. I've never seen anything like it. And the Packers, the Packers defensively are not what they were last year. Clearly, San Diego had 460 yards of offense, but again, they are opportunistic defense. And when your offense is playing on the level that their offense is playing at, I don't think it matters, to be honest with you. The Packers turn it on. They hit, that game goes from 21-14 to 45-24 in about a quarter. And next thing the Packers again put it on cruise control, stop playing, and next thing they're down. They're only up 45-38. So they've had a habit of kind of like taking their foot off the pedal, and they're allowing teams to get back in it. But when they want to, when they want to turn it up, they can score at will. And I don't see how you as a defense defend what they can do, because they have 4, 5, 6 weapons. I mean, Jermichael Finley's not even, he's having a good year. He's not having a great year. But, you know, James Jones is back in the mix. Jordy Nelson's been great. Jennings has been tremendous. You had a rookie, Randall Cobb. You know, you still have Donald Driver. They run the ball when they want to. When they have to, they can run the ball. So, the Packers right now are clearly the class of the NFL. And to me, the only thing that stops them from winning a Super Bowl is if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. I fully believe that. 51 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour, when we return, I'll tell you what I thought about Week 9 of the NFL season. We'll talk about that, and we'll also look ahead towards Week 10 and to the Week 10 schedule. We'll be right back. Latest edition of the NFL show. Looking back at Week 9, again, a great window, 4 o'clock window of games. I mean, you had St. Louis, Arizona going down to the wire. You had San Diego. You had San Diego, Green Bay going down to the wire. And then you had, of course, the Giants and the Patriots. So that window right there was exciting to watch, especially on the red zone. When they had triple box at one time they even had the quadruple box as we watching all of the games. AFC West is absolutely wide open. Oakland, Kansas City, and San Diego are all 4-4. Even the Denver Broncos, we have no business in absolutely no business in the mix for a division title are 3-5. So that to me stands out right now. As I look at, you know, what transpired over the course of this week, San Diego, of course, is going to be kicking themselves from that Monday night game. Certainly nobody expected them to beat Green Bay, but they really should be 5-3 and have Kansas City at 3-5 considering what happened with the botched snap on the as they were trying to get in position for a field goal with Phillip Rivers. The Giants, I said it earlier and I'll say it again, the Giants to me look like the biggest threat to the Green Bay Packers. Again, Eli playing the best football of his career. They can run the ball, especially when they get Bradshaw back. And most importantly, they can rush the passer as well as anybody in the league. I mean, Pierre Paul, Justin Tuck, Uiagalelei, those are three big-time pass rushers. And listen, we saw in Super Bowl 42 with Brady and that all-time great offense how average it looked when the Giants hit them with their pass rush. That's the kind of team that can challenge the Packers. If you don't have a pass rush against the Green Bay Packers, you're dead. I mean, forget about it. You are not. You might as well not even show up. I mean, don't even put on the cleats. So, you know, we'll see moving forward, you know, when those guys meet up. And they're going to play in a couple of weeks. When the guys meet up, what happens in that particular game? Looking ahead to next week, again another nice slate of games. Thursday night football starts: Oakland, a big game. Oakland and San Diego, both those teams are 4-4. I forgot the Raiders. Raiders are 4-4 as well. At San Diego, Houston, Tampa Bay should be an interesting matchup. New Orleans and Atlanta in a big divisional game. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. We'll see if the Steelers can rebound off the loss this week, last night. New England at the Jets. Can the Jets expose New England the way the previous three opponents have exposed them defensively? I mean, offensively. Buffalo at Dallas should be good, very good. And you have, of course, the Giants taking on San Francisco. That should be a very physical and hard-hitting game. San Francisco's going to be that's going to be San Francisco's first, I think, real test. I mean, I know they beat the Eagles, early in the season, but that's not the same Eagle team that's playing right now. Of course, you have Eagles and Bears coming up at around 8:30. I like the Eagles in that game. I think it'll be a very close game, but I'll take the Eagles to win a close game. Hopefully, both running backs come up big. Need 37 points for my fantasy league team. I have Forte and Shady McCoy, so just between them, I need 37 points. So just give me 25 and 415, and we'll be all good there. LSU Alabama this weekend on Saturday, to me was an absolute classic game. A lot of people were calling it boring, not enough scoring. You know, I respect great defense and no offense in the world, in the college football world, would have did anything against those two defenses. Those are two of the best defenses that I've seen in recent memory, to be honest with you. I can't remember it. I mean, maybe, I mean, I guess you got to go back to, when Miami, early 2000s, when they had guys like Sean Taylor and Vilma and those guys like that. I can't think of a better defenses in recent memory. Those defenses, two defenses, are so by far and away the best defenses in the country. I'm glad that Alabama only fell to number three. I want to see a rematch between those two teams. Now, again, I'll take Andrew Luck against LSU in national championship. I have no problem with that. To see LSU's defense match up with the great quarterback, no zero problem with that. But if Oklahoma State and Stanford loses, you will see Alabama and LSU play again. Again, the big play in that game to me was the interception by Reed on the tight end. That should have been, when the game was 6-6, that should have been first and goal at the one for Alabama. And even if Alabama only gets a field goal there, I think they win the game. I mean, at that point, the defenses were so in tune and the offenses were so out of sync that, that next score was going to be the clincher. But give LSU a tremendous amount of credit. I've said all year long that they've been the most impressive team in college football considering the schedule that they play. I thought coming into the game that Alabama was the best team, but those special teams killed Alabama with the kicking game, missing four field goals. I thought Saban should not have attempted after the guy misses the 44-yarder, I don't think Saban should have attempted the 49 and 50-yarder, especially the 50-yarder when you had a guy who hadn't made a field goal over 37 yards. So, I thought that was a mistake by Saban. Saban had a rough night. I mean, putting the guy out there to field the punt who could barely move his leg, I think his name is Mays, was a mistake. It cost him about 34 yards in field percentage. Excuse me, not field percentage, but 30 cost him 30 yards in that particular for that particular play. So LSU deserves to win the game. So congratulations to them. That's going to wrap it up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We will be back next week. I'll see you. So long. Enjoy the game.